anyway, and the word of Yahweh, and I'm gonna say this right now. I'm not gonna say Lord. I'm gonna say Yahweh. And the word of Yahweh came again to me, saying, "Moreover, you son of man, take one stick and write upon it Judah, and for the children of Israel and his companions. And then take another stick and write upon it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and for all the house of Israel and his companions, and join them one to another into one stick, and they will become one in your hand. And when the children of your people will speak to you, saying, 'Will you not show us what you mean by these?' say to them, 'This is what Yahweh Elohim says: Look, I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel, his fellows, and will put them with them, and the stick of Judah, and make them one stick, and they shall be in one in my hand. And the sticks there whereon you wrote will be in your hand before their eyes, and say to them, 'This is what Yahweh Elohim says: Behold,'" which means look, "I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, whither wherever they have gone, and will give them and will gather them in on every side and bring them into their own land, and I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel, and one king will be their king to them all, and they will be no more two nations, neither will they be divided into two kingdoms any more at all." Go ahead, sit down. Thank you. We've been taught that this scripture is for us now, because Ezekiel is an end times prophet. I believe that is so, and the continent of North America, and specifically the USA and Canada, are the mountains of Israel, and one king, Yeshua, will reign over us eventually. Now I'm going to change the subject. "And he opened a bottomless pit, and spoke, and smoke ascended from the pit like the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air had become darkened from the smoke of the pit." Revelation 9:2. "The cloud that came from the pit when Satan and his demon seed were released was a massive cloud of deception and confusion. That cloud over our reasoning ability included the concealment of our history, the understanding of who we really are, and our purpose for being. It was also to conceal the evil and vile essence of Satan and the creatures of his demonic lineage, who have been our sworn enemy from the start of this earth age. The essence of him and who they are is what they are. They're the very essence of indescribable evil. They were released for a season, but to kill, steal, and destroy. And the ever-billowing stench from the cloud of their lies causes continual confusion, perversion, all manner of temptation, seduction, and fear to the Father's children, if they are not grounded in the truth. This is the evil from the pit of hell, and it has the world in its controlling clutches right now. Be strong in Yahweh and in the power of his might. That's a question. Yes, but know who you are. 2 Timothy says, 2:15, "Study to show yourself approved unto Yahweh, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." the failure of parents for generations to educate their children in the Father's way has affected our inability to discern what is right and what is wrong. Our parents were the product of their upbringing, and the sins of the parents are visited unto the children, even unto the third and fourth generations. And on and on and on. The enormous teaching, erroneous teaching from our pulpits and the lies ingrained in this society are all part of the cloud of the smoke from the pit that muddles our proper ability to reason and interferes with our understanding of the truth and righteousness of Yeshua. He brought his message for us to see, to understand, to know, and to grow to what he created us to be. And he is the way, the truth, and the life. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge. I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me." And that's what we're supposed to be, his priests. "Seeing that thou hast forgotten the law of thy Elohim," and Elohim is judge, "I will also forget thy children." Our Father was telling us what was inevitable. We forgot him, and he would reciprocate and would forget us. Now, this is the truth about spirituality. The Spirit of the Father is his Holy Spirit. His Spirit is the essence of who he is, and he is holy. Holy is righteous and absence of wrong. We were created in his image and his likeness, and we were to be the image of our Father on the earth. In this domain, in this realm of or plane of existence. Think about that. We call this the earth. We call it a round ball. We really don't know for sure what it is. We are in a realm of existence that is prior to our eternal existence. Say it that way. He told us we were supposed to be his priests. We were not created as gods, and there is but one Yahweh. We were, however, created in the image of Elohim to fulfill our commission for him on earth. All power and authority are ours, and Christ said, "These things I do, you will do, and greater things also." In the hierarchy of divine order, we were created a little lower than the angels. We are in the family of Yahweh. And what is the service order of the family? Unit. The greater will serve the lesser. A father in proper obedience to the order of Yahweh will serve his children until the maturing process is completed. Raise up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, meaning he's matured, he will not depart from it. In this way, the cycle of divine righteousness continues and prospers. And this is the seed of the mustard tree. Of the tiniest of seeds, the greatest tree grows. And we have failed in that endeavor. The spirit Adamic man was created in perfect harmony and union with the Father. Didn't he say, "I knew you before you were in your mother's womb"? He knew what he had made. He knows us. He knows every one of us. We were created by the hands of the Father, and we were born of the flesh and molded from the earth. He combined dust and water to form the body, this receptacle that we are, the vessel of honor to contain our being. By his breath, he breathed the essence of our faith in of our spirit into Abraham, and we became living men. We, the white race of Adam, are eternal beings, and we are the vessels of honor to the Father. Man is the created being of his spirit, for his spirit, which is the essence of who he is, his spirit, his soul. These bodies are just are temporary houses that we occupy. We're just temporary here, but we're permanent for a long, long time. We're just a little. This is that little bitty spot right there that we're at right now, but we're here for all of this. The essence of who he is intrinsic, and the indispensable determination of his character. The intrinsic element of his character means it's natural and essential. By reiterating the indispensability of man's character, it is emphasizing its absolute need to him as a person, to each of us as a person, and to his portion in the completeness of the Father's kingdom. We all have a part in the Father's kingdom for eternity. Man's spirit is the non-physical part of a person, which is the seat of his emotions and character. It is the soul of who he is. We are of God and created in his image and his likeness. Every one of us, the white children of God, are essential to the Father. Remember, Jacob he loves. And I'm going to skip past our definitions and you can read them. This mortal life existence became our training period during which we are to mature in spirit. It has been a continual learning experience to culminate in spiritual maturity when we, as the family of God, have matured to the level of bonding spirit, with a capital S, to spirit, and spirit, small s, to another small s. We will then finally assume our position and our responsibilities in kingdom life. That's why y'all are here. That's what you're working toward right now. If you are of the white race, you are of the family of Yahweh God. Our family grew and multiplied, and for a period of time matured while living obediently to Yahweh's law. And this was called the time of the judges, when we were looking to him for our guidance and control and authority. Yahweh considered Israel his bride, kind after kind and blood after his blood. But because of our relentless denial of our divinely established bond to him, he divorced us. I know I'm talking to the choir here. Y'all have heard all of this stuff before, but maybe I'm saying it a little differently. His separation from us meant that his divine essence was no longer joined with the essence of who we are. He never left us or forsook us. But from that point on, we did not have the benefit of his protection, his guidance in right decision making, or his assistance when we made the wrong choices. We wanted to serve other gods, and that was our freedom to do so. And he let us do it. as a loving husband to Israel and father to us, his children, individually, he watched us from afar. We still had to go forward in our divine destiny to fulfill his promises to our forefathers. And for more than seven centuries, we advanced in our migrations into promised nations. We multiplied and spread throughout Western Asia and Europe and beyond. And we were becoming those great nations of Europe that we were promised. He pledged it to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And all this time, without our spirit linked to the Father. Again, this was all part of our training and maturity. The cross of our Savior's crucifixion, now I'm going back to the beginning, our kinsman redeemer were the two sticks joined together for the reunification of both nations, Israel and Judah. And I looked over here and I saw this cross right there, and that's the two sticks right there. The cross of our Savior's crucifixion, our kinsman redeemer, were the two sticks joined together for the reunification of both nations, Israel and Judah. The central point of our joining was directly below his head when he was on the cross, which established his divine authority over the rejoining. The central alignment of Yahweh, Yeshua's body, with the cross was immediately behind his heart. That's where that cross lined up. It was the joining of Israel and Judah. The rejoining of Israel and Judah. Immediately behind his heart. His separation from us meant that his divine essence was no longer joined with the essence of who we were. He never left us or forsook us, but from that point on, we did not have the benefit of his protection. Guys, did I say that? Yeah, I already covered that part. I'm way back. Sorry, I'm going to correct myself here. The central point of their joining, those two sticks, was directly below his head, which was his divine authority. Over the joining and the central alignment was immediately behind his heart, symbolizing his spirit and the essence of his being. The rejoining spirits of Judah and Israel were all the tribes of his chosen children, reunited with his spirit and central to his very essence. And the blood pulsating through his heart is the same blood that courses through our blood, our bodies. He could give no more. Such is his love for us. In his sacrificial posture, suffering the agony of his ultimate gift for his beloved, he endured the pain and suffering that was due all of his children. And we were entitled to the pain he so willingly endured on our behalf. We were symbolically represented as the very instrument of his death. The two sticks joining together. It could not be a more exacting symbol of his love for us than for Christ to die for us, being bound to us at his demise. He took all of our sin and misdirection with him, and never to see it again or acknowledge it ever again. We all died together, fixed and attached by his bloody nail-pierced hands and feet. He took his bride with him when he was rejected and removed from this plane of existence by the evil ones that could not tolerate coexistence with the purity of the divine, and we all live. When he departed, he left us with a promise. I will never leave you or forsake you. Through Yeshua Christ, Yahweh, as a man, he came to this earthly realm of physical existence to fulfill all his promises to his blood family. And while he was here, he re-educated us in the way. And before he left, he bonded back with us, his spirit to our spirit. We've still got to learn the way. We're really not living the way, but we're coming along as children of the fathers. We are coming along. The last thing he did before departure was the commissioning of his disciples, and that was in Matthew 28:18-20. And Yeshua came and spoke unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all our nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." This society, where I go, you cannot come, but I will leave my comforter with you. Such was the rebonding of the remarriage of the Father to us, the children of Israel. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but will have everlasting life. Father did not love or have regard for this world. In the many transcriptions, translations, and ancient languages progressing to our modern languages, a lot of words changed and were misinterpreted or misunderstood, and usually very purposely. It was done on purpose. When we need him, we were instructed to call upon his name, for there is power in his very name. However, throughout the Bible, his name was replaced with the word Lord. It was removed over, I got a number of 68,000 times. And his name is Yahweh and not Lord. Lord is a title. It's not a name. There's no power in a title. Only submission. You got to submit to it. And we were told to come boldly to the throne of grace and make our petition known. That is what a father would expect from his children, right? Besides, how can you call him by name if you don't even know what his name is? Don't you know your dad's name? Try saying, "Hey you, give me the keys to the car." How quick do you think you're going to get where you're going to need to go? Oh, it might be pretty quick, but it's probably not where you expected. It sure doesn't help much about the quality of your relationship either. Well, I won't say now, does it? Strong's Concordance says Lord number H1168, Baal, is the same as H1167, a Phoenician deity. In H1167, Baal belongs with many names, along with many names and descriptions, and near the bottom we find the word Lord. Yep, that's right. when that preacher stands at the pulpit with outstretched arms and cries, "Oh Lord, help us in our hour of need." Yep, you're right again. And the father just shakes his head and sighs. The man doesn't know who he's trying to appeal to. He just called upon the God with a little g of this world, Baal. And that's where the Judeo-Christian churches are. All of them. Now, let's take a look at John 3:16. In John 3:16, God, Thompson number G2316, tells us, just like the word Lord, this is not a name, but again, it's a title. The word world is a mistranslation. It is supposed to be society, or more appropriately, His society, the kingdom of Yahweh. The whosoever of who is spoken of is His children, us, and the lineage of Adam. And believe means to know and fully understand. To commit their being, soul, and essence to bond with His, that we do not deny our spirit bond, but nurture and grow in righteous bond. To not be in that eternally bonded relationship, our spirit to His Holy Spirit is to be separated from His Spirit. And this is the eternal position of the liar. We don't want to be there. Our eternal spiritual bond with Yahweh is our proper place in eternal life. Eternal division of our spirit with the Holy Spirit is death forever. And that is not who we are. The truth of John 3:16 is, for Yahweh the Father loved His kingdom so much, which was His planned social system for all earth, that He sacrificed Himself in the form of a man once, that all His children will grow in understanding of the meaning of our mutual connection of spirit and not denying it, but will live with Him eternally in His spirit relationship. Spiritualism is a doctrine of demons, which infiltrated and morphed into being beliefs adopted by the shepherds of this pulpit, and became part of the religion of man. And this is the smoke. This is some of the smoke of confusion out of the pit when they were released. What's some other smoke? You've been freed from the law. He said, "I did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it." If you, anyone, believes in Jesus, will be saved. Salvation by works is self-righteousness. And He said, "I came but for the lost sheep of Israel." He just came for us. I can be grafted into the vine. Well, this is spiritualism. And spiritualism is the doctrine of demons. And we are saved by the blood of the Lamb, if we're of the same blood. When He returns, I'll meet Him in the air. In the sky. No, the tares will be gathered first and thrown into the fire. Nearly all of Revelation is in the future. No, again, the millennium is over. He has been released from the pit for well over 230 years, and this is the time of Jacob's sorrow. And we are Jacob. The Jews are God's chosen people. That's a lie. That's like the lie of all lies, and a total slap in our face. They killed Yeshua. Oh yeah, and they are the demon spawn that was raised out of the pit. This is just a few of the many false doctrines being spewed out of the so-called Judeo-Christian pulpits. Unless a pastor is awake to the truth that the white race are the blood lineage, line, seed of Adam, that they are the lineage of Noah, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Israel, that pastor is of the Antichrist. And he is teaching false doctrine. They are either of the Father or not. One cannot serve two masters. Spirituality is not a religious doctrine. Spirituality is a truth. The spirit of being is the essence of that being, and the essence of that being is the motivating force behind his thoughts and actions. So as he thinks, so is he, and so as he is, so does he do. What separates Adamic man, the white family of Yahweh, from the rest of the beings of this earthly plane are our blood relationship, our spirit motivation, and finally our spiritual connection to the Creator. We are man. Doesn't say anything else about all those other creatures out there. The Adamic man is the race of man on this earth. His Holy Spirit is in us, and our spirits working in harmony is the union of marriage. Such was reconfirmed at the cross when the Master said, "It is finished." His portion of the mutual commitment was completed. Marriage is not a mutual consent form signed, witnessed, or on some legal contract of in some official government building. No, it's only a thing between a man and a woman. A man and a woman know in their spirits that they belong together. Joining in harmony is the union of marriage. The joining together is marriage. The act of joining confirms the marriage. The two shall be one is confirmed by mutual commitment. His spirit with her spirit joined completes the essence of spiritual perfection. And the Holy Spirit with a united spirit makes the union complete. And this is the growing of the family of God that we're responsible for. My spirit with your spirit joins to the Holy Spirit and completes a holy union in the essence of spiritual perfection. Our spirits in harmony with each other makes us one in mutual commitment. His spirit and our spirit makes us one in the body of Christ. The unified body of Christ is the bride of Christ. And that is what the Father is waiting for. When a true family member of Israel, a true Christian, awakens to who he is and what he is, his only desire is for the union to be complete. And I mean now. I know I've been burning for it. When a man knows who he is, he knows the truth. He starts to understand what is meant by the angels in heaven rejoice when one returns. He knows it has to be for the entire house of Israel, because the whole house of Israel is the bride. The passion burns unabated in him for all his brothers and sisters to awaken. Until then, it's a very lonely place. So, this is what being born again really means. When the remnant rise out of the smoke of their slumber and cry out, "Father, oh Father," he will answer our call. He will answer our call. When we cry out to the Father in unity, we will be crying out in our love-craved hunger. We will no longer be part and portion of the whore of the beast. we will be returning to our first love. And Yeshua, who has vowed eternal love to his family, will be there for us. Just smiling. I thank y'all for enduring me.